everyone, and welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict's Inn. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about Fear the Walking Dead, Season 1, Episode 4, entitled Not Fade Away. It was written by Meg Oppenheimer. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. And she's an actress, but she's also done a movie called We Are Your Friends in Hot Mess. And it was directed by Carrie Skogland, who's done The Walking Dead, Tyrant, Power, and Vikings.
Okay, those are some good shows.
Yes. Vikings, we watched a couple years ago, or whenever it first came on. Yeah. It was very, very violent.
Right.
Like, and that's coming from someone that watches, like, Game of Thrones or even Walking Dead. Like, I thought that show was, not saying it was bad, but it was like, whoa, they can do that on TV? So, yeah.
Very graphic.
Yeah, very, very graphic. All right, so before we get into our recap, our likes and our dislikes, what did you think of the episode?
I'm going to start by saying that I love the storyline and I love the concept of this. But there's something about certain characters that rub me the wrong way. And I'm not really sure if it's the character or whether it's the actor, but I'm leaning more toward the actor.
Okay. Kind of like what I felt about Kim Dickens when we first started, somewhat. Well, I guess I had no basis not to like her.
I was just thinking that. Like, why do you like Kim Dickens?
I don't know. I have to look at all her resume. Something, she must have did something in a movie years ago, and it just still haunts me.
Because, actually, I think she's doing a very good job.
Yeah,
her character is believable.
I mean, she's pissing me off, so she's doing a good job.
But I can't say it's all the characters. But I think that this would have been pulled off better with a couple of changes in the casting. And the reason I say that is some of the characters that, and you know, I was on social media and I thought this myself, that, damn, I wish this character would just die already. And, you know, I never feel like that.
Yeah.
I wish the character would die already. But then I thought about it is that this character was probably perfectly written. There's nothing wrong with the character. The problem is the actor can't deliver that character, can't deliver the role or deliver that power that we need to see in the character.
I understand that.
Or a better saying is that the actor's not strong enough to be in the show. A strong enough actor.
I felt that way about some characters that were on Walking Dead who I will not say. They are no longer there. But, and I'm fine with that. But I don't really necessarily feel that way yet about anyone here.
Okay.
I mean, like I said, I didn't really care when I saw who was casted for the show before it started. I was like, oh, Kim Dickens, something about her I just didn't like. But I'm getting used to seeing her every week, and there's no one in particular that I just can't stand. But there is, I mean, I guess if they change some people.
Well, let me go ahead and use one as an example.
Okay.
Like Travis, nice guy. I don't know why we don't like him.
You don't like him. I have no problem. Travis is stupid shit, but I don't have a problem with him.
I don't understand why this show could do without his character. And then I thought about it, was like, if there was another actor playing that character that was stronger, would I still feel the same way about this character?
I disagree. I don't have a problem with Travis. I like Travis. I want him to become stronger. He needs to man up and stop being so passive aggressive with every single damn thing. But that's his character. As far as the actor, I mean, I guess I'm not really invested in any of the actors, so they can change any of them.
I'm going to just throw a character or actor into that character role.
Okay.
And this is going way left field. They could have put Peter Dinklage in his role, and it had been a more powerful role.
They could put Peter Dinklage in any damn thing they want to, and it'll be a more powerful role.
But I'm saying, just picture it. It'll be a powerful, the facial expressions would be better.
Ugh.
You actually fall in love with a Travis. Like, hold up, Madison. Don't talk to Travis like that.
Right, you're right. Actually, it's so funny.
Travis doing what he's supposed to be doing.
I'm picturing Peter Dinklage in that role now. Like,
I just want to throw him right there, but there's plenty of other actors that, if they played this role of Travis, we would look at Travis much differently.
Okay.
That we actually wonder what's wrong with Madison and what's wrong with everybody else for treating Travis like this.
I'm already thinking that.
Like, hold on, Travis doing some good stuff. Yeah. Why you acting like that? But now, you know, when Madison was talking to him at the beginning, fussing at him about everything going on, I was like, yeah, get him, Madison.
All right.
Yeah, you're right. What's Travis doing running? Taking a jog for it. He need to be there helping.
She was just nagging and nagging. I thought, like, when we first watched the show last night, I was actually kind of disappointed at first. For pretty much most of it. There's a few reasons why. One, I looked at my phone. It was about 9:40. And I was like, damn, we still have 20 minutes of this shit. That's exactly what I said to you.
Yeah, that show was... Huh. It just felt like we was forced to watch that show.
Yeah.
It was just forceful. And the thing is, Nicole watched the show twice. Mm-hmm. I didn't. I couldn't watch it again. I mean, it felt like...
It was better the second time around.
And I understand that. I understand that. But the average person... And, you know, I usually watch shows twice also. But for some reason, I couldn't watch that show again. It was just that slow for me. There was a couple of nice scenes in it. Exciting scenes. Well, I can't say a couple. It was like two scenes that I just really loved. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And that was the very beginning and the very end.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to sit through everything else just to get to those parts. You know what? I can't say I liked another scene. I love Madison scene.
Okay.
Madison getting out of there, trying to go be detective. I love that. It was exciting. It had me on the edge of my seat.
You know what's so crazy? I felt like this was my least favorite episode so far. But I read a couple reviews online, which I normally don't do. But I was just wondering, since we were so disappointed, like, I wonder if the critics are saying the same thing as us. And they were like, Walking Dead is finally starting. I'm like, what? Like,
Were we
watching the same show? So, like, they were really feeling it. But like I said, it was more enjoyable the second time around.
Yeah.
But honestly, just talking about from a first watch perspective, as you said, most people watch it that one time.
Right.
I was disappointed. And the only thing I can kind of compare it to is Tomorrowland. Tomorrowland came out, I think it was earlier this year.
Tomorrowland was a good movie. It wasn't great.
It
wasn't that great movie that we were expecting.
But, like, literally, I went around to everybody I know talking about Tomorrowland, sharing their Facebook page. Oh, I can't wait for Tomorrowland. It's going to be so good. Yep, I bought my tickets early because I'm not sitting, you know, da-da-da. Like, I was hyping up Tomorrowland because I thought it was going to be, like, the best movie ever. And then it was very disappointing. I'm not going to say it was horrible, but it just did not live up to my expectation.
Yeah, because it was a Tomorrowland movie.
Without Tomorrowland. So that's kind of how I felt last night. Like, damn, did I just get played again? They got me all excited. We've been waiting months for Fear the Walking Dead. And then I was just so, it was not horrible, but it didn't live up to my expectation.
And that's the point I was making. I was making the point that this was a great storyline. They put so much together in a show with just it was incredible. Mm-hmm. The storyline perspective. But I don't think that the cast was strong enough to deliver this. I'm not saying all, but there's a couple of key people that if they weren't on this episode, nobody would ask, like, what happened to them?
Right.
We wouldn't have noticed.
Okay. All right. So, well, let's get into the recap. And if it's your first time listening, how we do it, we don't go over scene by scene, which we do for most of our shows we cover. But here on the Walking Dead cast, and the reason why we call it Walking Dead cast, because we will keep this same feed for Fear the Walking Dead and Walking Dead. But we just go over our likes, our dislikes, and then we do an award and a prediction at the end. So we're going to start off the likes. It was kind of a dislike, but then when I start thinking about it a little more, or especially on second watch, I kind of liked seeing Travis and Nick and even the military people doing like everyday things. Like Travis, we see him going for his morning jog. He has his headphones in, which is if the electricity is off, how is he charging his cell phone or whatever, or iPod or whatever he has? But, you know, let's let that go.
I can't let it go. I didn't like the scene, but continue.
Okay. I liked it only because it just shows you in the Nick in that nasty ass pool. It was so gross. Like every time he showed him in there, I'm like, ew, there's like gross stuff all on your arms from the dirty pool. But the reason why I liked it is because these characters still don't know. Like they don't even realize what's about to happen to them. Like in my head, I'm thinking you need to be in like Karate Kid mood, Rocky mood. You need to be training. You need to be doing push-ups. You need to be doing sit-ups. You need to be boxing. Like, but of course, they don't know to do that.
Yeah, they don't know yet.
But that's what made it so good, because it's driving you crazy, because it's like, no, you should not be chilling, Nick. You need to do some pull-ups or something, dude. Like, you need to get that strength. And Travis, I guess running could help, because he's going to be needing to run for a while. We all know that. They're not going to always have cars. So I like that scene for those reasons.
Now, let me tell you why I didn't like that scene.
All right.
It's not realistic. It doesn't matter that they don't know that a zombie apocalypse is coming. Or let's take that out of the equation. Let's just say that the lights out, the power is out. You have gates around your community. You can't leave. You can't go to the grocery store. You can't have a normal life. The average person, to me, would be stressed out. The average person would be probably like Madison. Madison was on edge the whole time. When Travis came in from his jog, she still had an attitude. She was in her feelings.
She stayed with the attitude.
But that's more realistic. That's more realistic to me, that you would be emotional in your feelings, what's going on. Travis don't have any worry in the world. It's like they haven't been locked up for the last 9 days.
Well, see, in exactly 9 days. That's why I felt it was okay.
It's not okay, because that's still too short of time for this to be, or just to feel normal to you.
I don't know. Like, what is he supposed to be doing? Looking at the four walls? He's not going to work. What is the electricity's on? He can't watch TV.
But then again, he's not on vacation either. This is not a vacation spot.
So what should he be doing instead?
I don't know. I can't say what he should be doing. I'm just saying what I wouldn't be doing.
Okay.
I just say it doesn't feel normal to me.
A lot of people, though, do see exercise as a stress relief. So maybe he's running to just get his mind off things so he won't end up like his neighbor Doug. Crazy, sad, and depressed. And ultimately probably killed.
Yeah, it didn't feel right. Just didn't feel right to me.
I'll point out that we have those same type of things going on in Walking Dead with the Alexandria crew, and then even back in season 3 with the Woodbury crew.
Well, that's different. Because the Walking Dead, this is normal to them now. That's life. That's reality.
Okay.
This right here, what just happened to them in this short period of time is not normal. This is a stressful situation.
It is, but humans, we know how to adapt to situations.
No, picture if our lights went out right now. Picture if our lights are off longer than one day. We're going crazy. Two days. Man, the world's about to end.
Yes, but by day 5 or 6, I'm like, shit, this is life. No. I mean, it's never happened, so I don't know. You never know. You never know what you would feel.
Day 5 or 6, I'm
So I'm you're Madison. Doug. You're Doug. Is that what you're saying? You're Doug?
Call him again, Nicole. Try to call the electric company again.
Oh, I hate when people do that. Like, why are you calling the electric company when the lights go out? You don't think they know the lights went out? I hate when people do that.
I know, but that's just normal. That's the normal reaction.
No, the normal reaction is to suck it up and realize and adapt to your situation.
It's not that, I don't know how I'm going to feed my family. I don't know how long the situation will be going on. Let me just go for a jog.
Man, don't tell me you Doug. If some shit goes real, are you going to be in the bathroom?
I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't know. I may be.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right. Well, next on the list was just Nick's whole drug habit still being alive and well.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, because he fooled me. Like, when Madison goes and offers him some drugs and he says no, I'm all tweeting like, this lady, she's offering her son drugs. Like, is she crazy? He doesn't want it. He's moved on. He's, he's adapting to his life now. So he played me. He played me so good.
I think he played us all.
Yes, but at the same time, I loved it. I loved it because it's like, oh, Nick is, I don't know, just Nick, he's like that character that can just do no wrong. Like, it's wrong, you're like, stupid Nick. But at the same time, he's still like my favorite person on the show.
Because Nick is a survivor.
Yeah.
But, you can say that about all addicts. Addicts are survivors.
Yeah.
They do whatever it takes to get the next fix.
Yeah, they will. But that was real fucked up what he did with that man's medicine. I don't condone that. But it was just cool because at the same time, it was like, damn, Nick, like, you really went low.
That was all time low.
But I think there was a little foreshadowing here, because when Madison's trying to offer him the drugs, she goes, don't try to be a hero. And he goes, no chance of that. And the fact that now he's been taken away with Mrs. Salazar, who is really hurt, she's not gonna be able to defend herself right now, maybe he will end up being a hero or attempting to be a hero.
He's a survivor.
Okay.
He's a survivor.
I don't think, now that they're together, I don't think he would just let her just go. You know, I don't think he would try to escape and not help her. But who knows?
I mean, that's actually a good point you make. And it makes this scene, I guess, more worthwhile. Because now we understand that, yeah, he could be the one that saves her or try to be a hero. But then again, he still has his addiction. And who knows if he's going to get his fix now. They may not give him his medicine.
Yeah.
So how good of a hero can he be? And so this is something, I just can't wait to see it.
Yeah, we only have two more episodes left. And I think they're going to bring it. I think they're going to bring it big for those two. Last thing about his addiction and everything with Nick is Madison beating the shit out of him. I love that.
Oh, that was well needed.
It was definitely needed. He needed some sense knocked in him. Yeah, definitely. Definitely overdue. All right, so next we have the people questioning authority. I liked that the people aren't just sitting around and just accepting whatever the military is telling them.
Now, that's realistic. That you question things.
Yes.
Well, you saw Travis the whole time. Everybody's questioning and he's just looking on like.
On a first name basis with the guy, the military guy.
Yeah, he has no questions. I mean, maybe he asked them, you know, within those 9 days before it came back. I don't know.
Now, what's the chances of those military, like, are those military people still working for a real live government? Or are they rogue? Are they just military people that came together? Or could they be just regular people that put on military outfits?
I think they're still working for the government.
Okay.
But everything is not what it seems to be.
Mm-hmm. Because even Madison, she was kind of skeptical. She was like, how do we know the phones aren't working? What if they just are not letting them work on purpose?
And I mean, she's correct. She's right.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, they know more than everyone else know. I don't know how much more, because it's still real soon. It's still early in this apocalypse. They know more than them, but I don't think they know enough. Just put it like that. Because remember in episode, I think it was 2 or was it 3 when Sue died, when they killed Sue?
Yeah, 3.
All right. And the blood got on her husband and they took him away, said, oh, he's contaminated. I'm not sure if they know that everybody's going to turn anyway. Everybody's contaminated.
I think they know. Okay, because look at this.
Because why does it matter if blood got on him if he's already contaminated? So I that's why I don't think they know.
Because if it gets in their mouth or something, in their eyes, then they'll get it too. So maybe they were just double checking, making sure.
But they already have it.
Yes, but I still think they... Okay, take Sue's husband out of the picture. By this point, the military has had to see people come back to life that were not bit or anything like that. People in the hospital that died of heart attack and then they come back.
I don't know. I think they've seen people in zombie form, but I don't think they've seen anyone die and just come back.
At this point, you still don't think, even if they didn't see it personally for themselves, you don't think that word has spread throughout the government? Because think about, like, episode 1, when Nick was in the hospital and they were saying when that old man was going to die, they're like, we need to hurry up and get him to the basement if he dies. Because they knew he was going to come back and turn into a zombie and turn into the infected.
I mean, that's a good point. That's a good point.
So I think the military knows. They know more than what we do, and that's why they're trying to take people who possibly can die out.
What I'm saying. I know they know more, but I don't think they know enough. I think it's still early in the process.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of next on my list, is just them getting rid of the people who are at risk. And not that I agree with it, but I'm in season 5 Walking Dead mode. So I understand their decision-making right now. It's like, it seems early to be making these hard decisions. But that's why I'm always like, you know, when they hear, even in real life, when they talk about, like, military people and what secrets are the government keeping from us. Like, I don't want to be naive and in the blind. But at the same time, there's some things I don't want to know because I know I can't make those hard decisions. I wouldn't be able to do what Carol did to Lizzie or what Carol did. Carol's just badass. What Carol did to, I forgot the people that she burned in season 4, the ones. It was season 4. So I wouldn't be able to make that type of decision. But there are people out there who can make those type of decisions, who are willing to make those type of decisions for the better of the other people. So I understand them taking people out for that are risk factors that could die in the sleep and then wake up and return. And that's the only reason why I think they're doing it. I mean, that guy Doug, he was scared. He's going to have a nervous breakdown. Is he going to kill himself, kill his family, then wake, kill himself? I mean, who knows what could happen? He's unstable. He's not stable. So, and then Nick, can he overdose, end up dying, coming back to life?
See, to me, it seems like they're trying to recreate the perfect community. It's like they're already trying to rebuild civilization all in one community. That's why they have it blocked off, gated off. And they say they cleared it for like a 16-mile radius. Mm-hmm. So it's much more behind this than what we know, what they know, and what they're saying is going on. It's just weird that they're getting rid of all the people. I don't think they really care, like, give two shits about the people that's inside the gates. Really. For them to take the people out that's just infected or may die. I think they're doing it for their own purposes. They need that to recreate the perfect community and start rebuilding civilization.
I mean, that's a possibility too. So then what are they getting rid of Nick for? Because he's a drug addict?
Yeah, he's not perfect.
Okay.
That's just my opinion. I don't know. But it just made sense when I said it.
Okay. I mean, because they seem like they did give Doug quite a few chances to get right. You know, he was locked himself in the bathroom and he drove his car crazy.
I think they already had plans for Doug. Once he locked himself in the bathroom, their minds were made up.
Okay. That's a possibility too. And then just being skeptical or distrustful of the government or of the military. I like Daniel hearing his story when Madison got back, how he says, yeah, this similar thing. Well, he didn't say similar, but he says when he was a young boy, the military came, took some men, said they'll be back. And he said, yeah, and they came back in the lake. Like, he saw them all dead. Daniel has open eyes, you know? He's kind of been aware of everything since day one. And he sees that don't trust these people. And he even told Madison, he said, keep your son close. And she tried, but that didn't work. So, I don't know. I think they have a reason to have a risk. But at the same time, I don't agree with it just as a human being. I think there's some other steps that can be taken first. But at the same time, I'm not willing to make those hard choices even when it came down to it.
Maybe.
All right. So I want to first say that I thought Madison leaving the fences or leaving the community was very, very stupid. But at the same time, I'm glad she did it because it brought it brought more light to the story.
Right. Now, this was one of my favorite scenes. I'm glad she took it upon herself to see what's out there and not take their word for it. Like I said, she's already on edge and she already knows she really can't trust anybody. She done lost a lot of people. Remember, she almost got killed twice.
Right.
And she tried to take out Sue before it happened the third time. So I can understand her attitude and why she's so upset right now. Mm-hmm. And why she have that distrust. And I'm glad she got outside to see what's actually going on for herself.
So was she going out there due to the fact that what Chris told her about those flashing lights?
Yeah, she seen it for herself when he showed her the video. Mm-hmm. She saw the little mirror flashing lights. I think it's more like a SOS help me type signal.
Okay. Because I've been wondering, and I know we're kind of getting off, but well, it's still on the whole Madison thing. I've been wondering those flashing lights, like I thought it was an SOS. But then that final scene, it showed when Travis saw it, it was actually gunshots that time, like, for sure. So then I start thinking, like, were those gunshots the whole time? And maybe that's where they take people and just kill the people there. Well, we saw they kill people on the streets, too, but...
No, they were actually SOS signs at first. Okay. It was actually a mirror flash. Because you're not going to see gunshots in the daytime.
Yeah, then I thought that, too. I said, oh, that was cool that they could see him there in the daytime.
It was actually somebody, whoever was in there, was trying to get help.
So then how did they end there? Because the military said they checked every place.
And I'm going to tell you what I think before we get into our dislikes. I think the military did check the 16-mile radius. I think that's where they're taking the people. They're taking the people. They're holding them there. And the ones that they feel they can help, they let it go. Because isn't the lady with them a psychiatrist?
Yeah, she's something.
Yeah. So I think the ones they feel they can help, they're actually trying to help. And the ones they can't, they're dying. They're killing them.
So you think maybe a victim or somebody that was being held there.
Maybe it was somebody being held there by the military.
Oh, that's scary. That brings things very dark and very scary, which I like because it's like, ooh, It's getting my emotions. It's getting me roared up.
Travis went to the gate and told them, like my son said, he saw somebody on the hill, saw somebody lights flash or something.
Right.
And like I said, there ain't nobody up there. But
yeah, and then Travis is like, just forget it. He's like, I already did.
Yeah. And obviously, we find out later they know there's people up there.
Right.
They know there's something up there. They killed what was ever up there.
Gosh. Okay, and then that also brings it to, at the beginning episode, when they were taken in refugees, they came in. So maybe those people are people that were, at one point, at the facility. They found out, yes, you're not infected. Kind of like Suzanne's husband, Patrick.
Right.
Like, okay, you're good. You stay here for a few days. You're good. Here, we can take you to the community now. So it's possible that they could release Nick. It's possible. It's a possibility. You know? But wow, that's scary.
But, you know, this is just speculation.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that right there is a facility they're taking everybody to. Some people make it out. Some people won't.
That's good. I like that theory.
And we also know that Madison saw that there was people out there that was killed, but they weren't turned.
Right.
Yeah, she told Daniel that the military are out there just killing people.
Yeah.
That people were shot before they turned.
Which I wonder, because when she got under that under the car and was so close to that dead body, Madison's brave. Madison's very brave because, I mean, she's stupid, but she's brave because I don't know anyone else who would be willing to go outside, out the gate, not telling anyone, not bring anyone with you. And then she acted so fast. When the military came, she was able to, I would have sat there and froze. Well, I wouldn't have even been out there. I've been too scared. But I would have sat there and like froze, and they would have probably killed me right there on the spot. Like, what are you doing out here? So she acted fast by going underneath that car. But someone mentioned on Reddit that there was a gun. And I do hope that she took that gun back with her.
Yeah, there was a gun laying beside one of the bodies.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I did like that scene. Because it was scary. It was scary just to see that. Like, that world, like, kind of pretty much like what Tobias said and what Daniel said. Look how fast that world has changed in 9 days. It doesn't look like anyone lived there 9 days ago.
Right.
It was scary seeing dead bodies on the street.
Yeah.
Rotting and, ugh. So, yeah. I enjoyed that scene. And then last, we find out that Suzanne did kill herself. It was kind of speculated last week when we were talking about it.
Yeah, when we saw the pills on the table.
Yes, but now we did get to see that she left a suicide note, and she said it was because that this was prophesied, that she's seen something scary, so she must have seen some type of zombie of some sort, and she said it's something had to do with God, and it's prophesied, and it's been mentioned how maybe, I don't know if the creators are saying this is prophesied, or if they're implying that, yes, this is like an act of God, because they had the Book of Revelations. Well, the Book of Revelations was quoted at one point. You could see the quote from Book of Revelations 21 verse 4, a partial of that verse. And then you can also see it on the gate when Travis was talking to the military guy.
Yeah.
So I guess they're kind of implying that this is kind of like, I don't know, the end of the world type of thing.
Right. Right. But like I said, the storyline is perfect. I mean, you can't think of no better shit than this. But I don't think it's getting delivered properly.
Okay. Due to the actors.
Due to some of that. Well, some of the actors I feel are strong enough to play their role. It's believable. Make you want to hate them. And other ones, you maybe hate the character for different reasons. So yeah, it's due to some of the actors.
Okay.
I think a stronger cast, better show.
Okay. Well, that I've had some dislikes with some of the characters, and I'm starting to think that it may have to do with the directing. So I kind of partially blame the directing in some of these scenes as well. And why don't you go ahead and start us off with our dislikes?
To be totally honest with you, like I said at first, there was only 3 scenes that I really liked. So the rest of it, I guess that's a dislike.
All right. Well, the scenes I disliked mainly was Madison, her bitching. She's complaining, which I know you said you liked because you thought it was a realistic or a real emotion.
Right.
But it was annoying just hearing her complain to Travis all the time, complaining about his ex-wife not being there to help or whatever. It's like she doesn't want her there, but she needs her there. Complaining about some blood stains on the wall. I mean, yes, but it's the end of the world.
Think about the time it is and what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And put yourself in that shoe. Let's take everything, the apocalypse and everything from it. There are some people out there that when their mother-in-law come in town, they have an attitude the whole time. When there's a lot of people, when there's a lot of house guests in their home, they're like, man, you know, that, I don't know why I agreed to this. Did I sign up for this? You know, people not cleaning up behind themselves. This is happening. You're not, this is your, these are your guests and you're not around to help. So, like I said, that was realistic.
Okay. And, what about when she told Travis, after they had sex and she's like, Travis, like, where are you going? She's like, I have stuff to do. Like, she was just really bitchy.
I mean, she had to get hers. She had to pause for the cost.
All right.
Get back to work.
I mean, I know I haven't really liked Madison this season, but still, like, her just always being rude and just complaining and blah, blah, blah. Like, you need to, okay, we're all in this shit, so you just need to kind of get it together. No one's happy. Which is, like, the only thing I think Alicia said that made sense this episode when she was like, why are you guys arguing like this is a regular domestic type of thing?
Yeah.
All right, so this was a dislike at first, but it may not be based on kind of the end. Ophelia, she's flirting with one of the military guys. They're fooling around. And it's the guy's played by Sean Hattusi. I'm probably pronouncing that last name wrong. He's been on Southland, John Q. That's where I recognize him from, and Felicity. I think Felicity actually lost her virginity to him back in the day. The TV show Felicity.
Oh, wow. He was on Felicity?
Yeah, like 2 episodes.
Okay.
Yep. I was like a stan for Felicity back in the late 90s.
So he's been acting for a while.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's as soon as it showed him, I was like, dang, he hasn't really aged that well. Because he hasn't aged that bad because he almost looked the same as he did 20 years ago when I saw him in all the movies. I mean, he looked a little older, but.
So he aged pretty good.
Yeah, he ages pretty good. But they're flirting, and I thought they were moving very fast, even kind of Ophelia, like, she's like, oh, we're moving too fast. But I was like, what are you, a high school student? But, you know, girl says no. But it was just a little too high school-y for me. You know, the kissing and making out in the car, although we saw Madison and Travis do it. But it was just really high school, and I kind of felt like that would have been more what Alicia would be doing rather than Ophelia. But then at the same time, at the end, it seems like she was maybe just playing him to get medicine for her mom.
Yeah, that's what I took from it.
Yeah. So when I was writing it down, and then after just watching it the second time, I was like, well, maybe she wasn't like falling head over heels that fast for some guy in the zombie apocalypse, you know?
Yeah, because once they got into, I guess, the lovemaking or the kissing, the school kid hunching.
Right.
She seemed like she wasn't into it.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, well, that was fast. But yeah, so it's kind of a dislike, but at the same time, it's not, I guess. Alicia, I haven't really had a problem with her character before this. I know she was kind of doing some stupid stuff when she was, like, all over Matt, but that's because no one told her what was going on with Matt. And she's kind of being a little, you know, like, it was just a little bratty teenager, but whatevs. I gave it the benefit of the doubt. But this episode, I just was not feeling her character at all. Every time it showed her, she was, like, staring off at people, staring at Travis, staring at Madison and Chris, just off staring at Ophelia. She was, like, I don't know if it was the directing, but, like, almost half her scenes, I'm like, what the hell? They needed more time? I mean, I don't even know. Like, was that a space filler?
I think they wanted to remind us she was still there. Hello. Shoot her again.
Yeah, show her again, just off staring.
Because we've seen shows that, you know, somebody went up to their bedroom and never returned.
Yeah. What was that, like on Family Matters or something?
Yeah, I think it was Family Matters.
Yeah.
So I think they just wanted to keep like, wait a minute, she's still here.
Yeah.
They just show her. But she's one of the actors I was talking about, that if they didn't show her this episode, we wouldn't have missed her.
Yeah, no, I agree. If they didn't show her, we wouldn't have missed her. I mean, her and Mrs. Salazar are almost on the same level of importance to me.
That's kind of messed up to say, but yeah.
Why? Why is that messed up to say?
Because they haven't had time to develop Miss Salazar.
Oh, because she came later. You mean she came later in the series?
She came later and they developed Daniel out of that group in this episode, the daughter. But Alicia, they already developed her. They already gave her a relationship. They already tried to give us her personality. The thing is, we don't care about it.
Okay.
We could do without it.
Okay. I mean, there's some characters like that that's on the original Walking Dead, you know, as I said earlier. But all right. And then another weird thing that she did was like the whole missing Matt. And then she, and that little drawing that Matt did on her arm, she like cuts into her arm and makes it like a fake tattoo or something.
Again, that right there, her roles, she has powerful roles. The cutting herself, the gaze at, damn, this is a messed up situation. When she came in, fussed at her parents, said, y'all, fussing like this is a normal situation. Her character has done some real stuff. But she, as an actress, haven't been able to deliver it to us the way it's intended to be delivered.
Okay.
But like I said about Travis, if you put another actor in a role, it'd be a different situation. We'd probably be like, oh, she's cutting herself now. We'd be more excited to see her.
Right.
Right now, when they show her on screen, I'd be like, "Who's? Oh, yeah. They did have a daughter.
They did have a, yeah. All right. And then, well, for them to say, you know, they talked about how smart she was in episode one. Yeah, episode one, I was just like, shouldn't she know better not to be cutting herself? Like, what if that gets infected? You're in a, you know, you don't have no power. You don't have no heat. You have to boil your water. Like, I don't know. I just thought that was stupid. And if she gets infected, I'm gonna be kind of mad too.
Why?
Because like she should have known better.
Okay, all right. My overall feeling about this episode and maybe the show as a whole is, I want to like it. Like I said, it's a perfect storyline. The writers are, I think, doing everything right. They're telling the perfect story, but it's just not getting delivered properly to me. I mean, I'm blaming it on some of the actors, but you're right. It could be a director. It could be. It may not be. And I don't want to feel like I'm forced to watch a show or forcing myself to like it. And last night, I actually felt like I was forcing myself to like this show because I love The Walking Dead.
Right.
So I'm trying so hard to give this, you know, I'm looking at the positive, like, okay, well, that's cool. I found a positive. This is a great storyline. But about last night's episode, it had a lot of potential. When it started off and we see Chris narrating it, I was on the edge of my seat. I'm like, oh man, this episode going to be epic. Because we know when a movie start off like that or show start off like that, it's going to be a great movie.
Right.
But that's where it ended. It's like he narrated. I'm like, I'm on the edge of my seat. Like, oh, this is the episode. And then after he saw the little mirror or the little SOS sign, then it went downhill. Then when Madison snuck out, then it went back. You know, I'm on the edge of my seat again. Like, okay, now it's about to start getting good.
Right.
Then Madison came back, went back downhill. And it did not peak again for me until the gunshots at the end. That's when I was like, oh, man, wow.
Yeah.
And you know what? Really, I almost didn't make it to the gunshots at the end. Like you said, around 45 minutes into it, we looked at the time and like, oh man, we still got 15 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? But the gunshots at the end tied everything together.
Yeah.
So, like I said before, I don't know whether I'm forcing myself to like this show because I love The Walking Dead or whether, you know, I really do. I think that's it. Yeah. Or I just really like it. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm still trying to decide now.
No, and I feel you, because even last night when we were watching, I was like, geez, I'm never really like, I mean, there's been some episodes of Walking Dead, season four, where it was just like, I was kind of bored, only because they start having those standalone episodes, with just like one character or two characters together.
I actually love those episodes.
And there was a couple I was kind of bored with, but this episode, I don't know.
That's blasphemy. I don't think there was one Walking Dead episode that I was bored with.
There's been some for me, but at the same time, I have watched like every episode of The Walking Dead minimum of 2 times. It could be as many as 4 times. So right. Maybe after that 4th time of watching that episode, I can be like, oh, I'm tired of the episode. So maybe that's why I feel the way I feel. Because I've watched every episode. The only episode I don't think I've only watched 1 time, and because I just really did not like it, was the Daryl and Beth episode. I think I've only watched that 1 time. Maybe I can watch it now and be like, oh, I see it a whole different way. But that Daryl-Beth episode, I was so done with it.
It was slow.
And Daryl's my favorite, but
it still was exciting because the group wasn't together. So we were wondering, like, damn, how's Daryl and Beth going to survive without Rick and everybody?
Yeah, maybe.
So even on a, like I said, even on a slow episode for Walking Dead, it was still exciting. This episode, I feel like I'm giving it a chance because I love the storyline and I love that they don't know what's going on. That makes it even more exciting.
Yeah.
But I don't like the delivery of it.
Well, they got two more episodes to turn us around.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it because I want them to turn me around.
Right. All right, so we do have a few listener letters today. Remember, you guys can send us an email and get your questions, feedback, or whatever you want on a podcast by sending an email to dead@theverdictzen.com. That's dead@theverdictzen.com. Our first email is from Abby. Abby, thank you so much for writing to us.
Thank you, Abby.
She also wrote us on episode 2. She says, "Hi, Nicole and Gary. Just wanted to drop by and leave you two some feedback about this episode. My overall thoughts about the episode are half and half," which is kind of where we were. "There's still some things I don't like, but I think what makes me like this show, despite my dislikes, is how they're choosing to build up the human conflict rather than focus so much on zombie attacks. Since we never saw this addressed in The Walking Dead, I really love that we get to see the role the military played in the start of the ZA." I don't know what ZA means. "And how zombie apocalypse. And how some people like Travis really thought things would be all right, while other people like Daniel know what's up. I really love how observant Daniel has been since everything started. I also enjoyed that moment he told Maddie that story about his childhood and then said to keep Nick close. I just knew something was going to go down. And if young Daniel Salazar thought his own father was a fool, then I just bet he thinks Travis is an even bigger one for trusting everything the military says. There's been so much tension between Maddie and Liza these past two episodes that I really want to know what happened between them all. Maddie was really upset that Liza wasn't at home at the beginning of the episode and didn't seem to care that she was out helping sick people. And her dislike only increased when she assumed Liza is on the military taking Nick away. I personally think Travis had an affair with Maddie. If anyone should be upset that they're all in this together, it should be Liza, but I could be wrong. Why do you guys think Maddie is so hostile towards Liza?"
Again, thank you, Abby.
And because that's only half the email.
Oh, that's only half?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's start answering half.
Okay, go ahead.
Wow, how long is this email?
It's a little longer.
Okay, that's great. That's good. But one point she brought up that I said a couple episodes ago is that how long has this family been split up?
Right.
So could Travis have cheated on his wife or his family with Madison? I mean, that's a possibility.
That is a I wouldn't. Travis seems like such a good guy, though. I don't see him doing that. But we don't know Travis like that. We've only seen him for 4 episodes.
We know Travis do some weird stuff, like go jogging in the middle
of a crisis. I would really say that was weird, but okay.
I have the question of judgment now.
Well, it's possible. I wouldn't put it past. I mean, well, I would put it past him, but Gary thinks that it's possible, I guess.
Yeah, because I don't think the family's been broken up long. I don't think they've been together long based on how the family's acting. And I already mentioned this.
Right. She said, "Lastly, I pray Nick survives this season, as do I. He's one of my favorite characters, along with Daniel Salazar. But man, what he did to that poor neighbor man was messed up."
Shame.
So when you said shame, I thought of Game of Thrones. Have him do the walk of shame, like Cersei. That'd be messed up. "So when Maddie gave him the smackdown, I was here for it. Also, why is Nick still walking around in that dead man's clothes from the hospital? He's been in the pool and probably sleeping in his own room every night. So why hasn't he put some of his own clothes on?" And actually, we have the other email that we got was from Yolanda. And that was pretty much her statement as well. So she said, why is he wearing those same old man clothes? So everyone's been asking that question. Why do you think Nick... Okay, at first I was okay with him wearing it. I didn't really notice what he was wearing this episode because he was in the pool most of the time.
You know what's so funny about Nick wearing a dead man's outfit?
Uh-huh.
It's because I didn't realize it. And that's what's funny about it.
Okay.
It's like a cartoon. Like, that's just a character now.
Right.
Like, he walks around with the same stuff on every episode. And I just don't notice now because he's the Bart Simpson of the Fear of the Walking Dead.
I noticed so that's what's so funny about it. But I didn't notice what he wore this episode because he was in the pool. And then when he got out of the pool, I didn't even notice what he had on.
And then I'm saying we didn't notice it. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it so funny.
Yeah.
That's just his character's outfit now.
Yeah. That's just his thing.
They done made Nick the cartoon of a real TV show. The cartoon character. That's crazy.
Yeah, because Alicia and Madison, they've had several closed outfit changes. So now, we'll see what happens next week.
Now I can't see Nick in anything else.
All right. And she said, and I would love to find out what happened to Tobias since it seems like the military went from place to place outside of the gates, executing both infected and healthy. So.
Right. Right.
I don't know if we're ever going to see Tobias again, honestly.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Anyway, sorry for such a long email. No, we like it.
Yeah, no problem.
I can't wait to hear who you two think should get the I Ain't Fair and Shit Award and who's most likely to die. Personally, I wish Travis would die. These are her words. But I think that's probably going to be go to Liza since the actress is in Power and Orange is New Black. Another wonderful show I love listening to you two talk about. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, we do have an Orange is New Black podcast. And I don't know if the writers will keep this whole quote-unquote love triangle going on for too long. Keep up the good work, you two, Abby.
First off, thank you, Abby.
Thank you. Thank you for writing such a long email. I mean, we appreciate just writing in, but you had a lot of stuff to say, and we appreciate that.
And she's saying the same thing I'm saying about Travis. And I'm wondering, is it the character? Because he's doing everything. He's not doing anything wrong. But I don't think it's just getting... I don't think the actor's delivering it correctly. I don't think he's a strong enough actor to give us a Travis. Like I said, you put another actor in that role and you think like, oh, Travis doing everything right, man. Why is everybody mad?
Right. I mean, I'm thinking maybe she wants him to die because he's so passive aggressive to me. I mean, she didn't say that. She just said she wishes Travis would die, but...
I want to see Brad Pitt being Travis.
Well, Brad Pitt, that people were talking about, I don't know if they were talking about Brad Pitt's acting, but I know some people didn't care for World War Z, but that's because they read the books, and I guess the book was different than the movie, blah, blah, blah. I only seen the movie, so I took the movie for what it was, and I enjoyed the movie.
Yeah, I loved the movie. I think Brad Pitt made a good Travis. Excellent Travis.
Brad Pitt could do good in anything. He's kind of like, well, I was going to say he's kind of like Peter Dinklage, but I think Peter Dinklage is a stronger actor.
All right. Maybe. You lost your mind. Maybe you lost your mind just now.
All right.
Abby also brought up Madison being hostile. And I just think that's a natural reaction. I don't think that anybody would be comfortable in this situation. Me, if I'm confined to my house and locked up behind gates, I'm going to be an upset person. I don't know when my mood's going to turn for the best. I'm probably just going to be an asshole. Not on purpose. But that's got to be some depressing shit. It got to be.
Yeah. But then if you're going to let something depressing just take your life over. I mean, this is going to be her life now. So she needs to get with it. She needs to.
Well, she don't know that. She don't know that this is it.
Okay.
I mean, I think she knows it's pretty bad right now.
Yeah.
Since she left the gates and saw that they were just killing innocent people.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, we don't know if those were innocent people. We just know that they killed people that haven't changed yet. Because we do see a guy, like we mentioned before, with a gun beside him.
Right.
He could have been trying to take their life. We don't know.
Thank you so much, Abby, once again, for writing it in. Our next email is from Yolanda. She wrote, I'm so happy I stumbled across this podcast.
Ooh, thank you.
Thank you. We're happy you stumbled across it, too. Tell your friends. I'm definitely going to check out your other podcasts for shows I watch. Awesome. My question for you is, why is Nick still wearing the old man's clothes he stole? He's at home. Why doesn't he change into his own clothes? Yolanda. Thanks, Yolanda. Yeah, pretty much what Abby said and everyone's been saying online. You guys are really observant. I noticed last week and I just thought it's because he had withdrawals and everything.
You said something last week about it.
But like this week, I didn't even notice because he didn't have a shirt on most of the episode when he was in the pool and then... From what he put on after he got out of the pool, I don't even know what he had on. I mean, I'm guessing you guys saying it was the man's clothes.
Like I said, it's his character now. But then again, we have to remember that he's an addict. He got moves to make. He don't have time to get fresh clothes.
Right.
That's like the last thing on his mind.
Yeah. Yep.
He don't care about how his hair looking, how dirty the pool is.
Yep.
If his socks match. He just trying to get that fix.
Yeah, you're right. Because I just start thinking, like, you know, when he was under the man's bed, when it showed his feet, like one foot, one shoe that he had a shoe on the one other foot that he wasn't using. And just for a quick second, I did thinking, damn, those shoes are old and messed up. So I don't know if that was the old man's shoes still. But it like literally went in my head 1 second and then left after that. So,
yeah, we had to really think about the mindset of an addict.
Right.
Mind frame. And I guess that's what the director or the writer is trying to remind us that, hey, he's an addict. He'll wake up on the ninth day.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And put on what he had the rest of the 8 days. I don't know.
I was going to say he must be funky, but like, think about it. Whatever they're wearing, eventually when shit gets real, when stuff goes ham, like when those gates come down or when they're forced to leave, they're going to be in those clothes for like the next year or two.
And you have to think about it. He's already walker ready.
Yep. He's already walker ready. He's ready. He's a survivor.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you so much for writing into us, Yolanda, as well as Abby.
Thank you very much, Yolanda. Thank you, Abby.
And just to remind you guys once again, that email is dead@theverdictsin.com. dead@theverdictsin.com. Now time for our award and our prediction. So last week we gave the I Ain't Fearing Shit Award to Daniel Salazar.
Well deserved.
Yep, and he killed that zombie, the neighbor zombie. Boom, that was good. This week, my pick is Madison.
And I will have to agree with you with that.
Okay.
I loved Madison this week. Madison, we already know she's been through a lot of stuff. She almost got killed twice. She almost had to kill her next door neighbor, who could have been one of her good friends. She's not fearing shit now.
Yeah.
You know, she had to get out of there and see what's on the other side of them gates. And I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Madison.
Thank you, Madison.
We appreciate you. You get the I Ain't Fearing Shit Award.
I still stick by my first initial assessment when saying that I thought it was stupid. But at the same time, all the characters have done something stupid one time or another. I mean, even Nick, the season started off with him being stupid. And he got the first I Ain't Fearing Shit Award. So, yeah, I definitely agree that she was pretty brave. Hopefully she was smart and got that gun. We'll see next week or maybe the week after.
Definitely.
And then now for our prediction for most likely to die. Last week, I believe we gave it to Travis.
You gave it to Travis, and I couldn't give that to anybody because I just had a feeling that this was our group we were going with.
Right.
And boy, was I wrong, because now they're splitting up our group.
Again.
So I'm going to have to kill somebody off.
So who do you give it to?
I think I'm going to go ahead and give it to probably Miss Salazar. She's gone. She's a goner.
Yeah.
I don't think they would be able to save her this week. She gets it again.
Yeah. She's a second time contender for the most likely to die prediction. Because I think I gave it to her episode one or two.
Right.
So yeah, I gave it to Miss Salazar too. And it's not that I want her to die. It's just that foot looked really, really bad.
And I know that everyone there who went with her, will try to save her.
Yeah.
But somebody has to die.
We
can't go through a whole show with nobody dying.
Right.
It's not even a Walking Dead anymore.
So, yeah, I think I have a feeling that she's going to die. I think her death is going to be important because I think it's going to be that pivotal moment for Nick. Or Daniel.
Even
maybe Liza. We still kind of haven't gotten a feel for her character, you know?
Right.
And that's one thing we did not mention. When that lady said, you're not a nurse. Like, so she's not a nurse?
Yeah, you know, we forgot to talk about that.
Yeah. What is she then?
She's been getting up and putting on scrubs.
Yeah. So what is she, like, in school studying to be a nurse?
Hopefully.
Because I was surprised when the lady said that, but they didn't elaborate. Like, what do you mean she's not a nurse? What is she then?
Yes, because we seen her when she was on the phone with Daniel on the first episode. She had her scrubs.
She had scrubs, but she did have a whole bunch of books, so maybe she's in school.
Maybe. Hopefully that's it.
Because she did also mention something about 7 more years. I don't know. She had 7 more years. Remember when she was talking to Travis? I think last episode, she could have been a doctor or something. So maybe she's in school to be a nurse or a doctor, but yeah. I forgot about that. All right.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, you guys. Well, we only have 2 more episodes left. I hope they bring it hard for us.
They have to.
They have to.
They have to. They don't have no other choice.
Yeah. I mean, it's already renewed for season 2. So right. That's happening. I mean, I'm not at that point yet. Like, well, okay, we're not covering season 2. I know you kind of seemed like you were there almost.
Well, the thing is, I have to see the changes they make.
Okay.
They have to make some serious changes because, like I said, the storyline is excellent. They're trying to bring it with the story, but I just don't think they're delivering it well. I think they have a couple of adjustments to make, some new characters. And we see it all the time in television shows where they bring in a couple of new cast members to make the show more exciting.
Right.
And that's what's needed right now because Nick cannot hold a whole episode by himself. I mean, he's exciting to watch. Like, we like his character.
Right.
But they need some other people. They need a couple of key players that could hold this episode, hold this show together.
I agree.
They need to bring in a governor.
Well, I think that military guy kind of is maybe, he's not governor yet, but he's pre-stage governor.
Yeah.
Or maybe even that lady that asks Liza to come with her.
Yeah. Yeah. She ended up being a villain.
Yeah.
If we're lucky.
Because she lied to Daniel. She said earlier to Daniel, yeah, you can go with him. You can go with your wife. And then when the time came, he wasn't allowed to go with his wife.
Well, I don't think that was her doing.
Well, she should have known it was not going to happen. She should have been like, oh, you're not going to be able to go. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think she lied. Well, I don't know yet. But we'll see.
I have a feeling. And I'm sometimes good at getting those feelings. So we'll see. But I want to make a quick announcement. This week, a lot of new fall shows are starting. So we have our Empire coming on. We just finished wrapping up season 1 during its off season. So season 2 starts on Wednesday. We will tape our podcast Thursday nights. You can send emails to empire@theverdictsin.com. And the podcast should probably release early Friday. And then we're also tentatively looking into Limitless.
Now, Limitless. Me and Nicole, we probably shouldn't have, but we've seen the first episode.
Yes.
It got leaked, and we watched it, and people, this show is great.
I loved it. I think it comes on
tomorrow, or
Thursday. It comes on this week, and I'll watch it again when it comes on. So that one will be on our Verdicts In feed. We don't have a full feed for it yet. We're going to do 2 episodes, and if we like it enough to actually pick it up, it's kind of like a pilot for us. Like, if we like it enough, we'll pick it up and we'll cover it and we'll get a feed for it.
Right.
Or something, we'll tell you. But you can look out for that.
But if you've seen the movie Limitless, you will love the show if you love the movie.
Yes. And Bradley Cooper is on it too.
And you know you can't go wrong with Bradley Cooper.
Right. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. Oh, another last thing is, I know we earlier mentioned Minority Report. We have decided we're not going to be able to cover Minority Report.
I think after we seen Limitless.
It was between Limitless and Minority Report.
And both shows leaked.
Yeah, both shows leaked.
And we went with Limitless.
Yeah. I might do like a quick review on Minority Report. It seems like it may have some promise, maybe. But just between the 2 shows, we only really can do 3 shows a week. So we have Empire, Fear the Walking Dead, and then Limitless. So that's all we have time for because we work full-time jobs.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Until we hit that lotto.
But fortunately.
But fortunately that we have jobs at the same time. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Have a great night. We always appreciate it. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Gary.
Good night.
Good night.